Hello, I'm Chris Elrod here with Forrest Animaceris and Cole Parsley. You're listening to Forward, the Christian Self-Help Podcast. We are excited about today's topic. We're going to continue to go through the 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. Cole, why don't you go ahead and introduce our rule for today and kind of talk about why it is so important.
Rule number two, treat yourself like someone you are responsible for helping. Sounds like an easy principle, like all of Jordan Peterson's rules. Here's the thing, though. One third of people won't fill their prescription after going to the doctor. We go to the doctor because we have a problem with our body. We get to the doctor. He gives us medicine to fix whatever problem we have. And then one third of us, myself included, won't even fill out that prescription. The remainder, the next two-thirds, will fill out their prescription, but they'll miss doses. They won't take it properly, leaving only a small amount of people who will actually take their medicine properly. Another example. Imagine waiting in line for an organ transplant, waiting weeks, waiting months, perhaps years. You finally get the organ transplant, and you don't even take the medicine you need to keep that organ or keep your body from fighting off that organ. It actually happens. The question we want to ask is, why is this? Why does that happen? It's one thing when we won't help ourselves. It's another thing when studies show that we will give our pets medicine before we will give ourselves medicine. If our pet is sick, we will not miss a beat in order to make sure our pet is well taken care of. The thing Jordan Peterson says, the reasoning he gives for why this is the case, and I agree, is that we are a shameful being. What I mean by that is we actually hate ourselves. We actually don't think we are good enough to receive proper medicine or to take care of ourselves. We know that human nature is like this, but it's completely different when we reflect on ourselves and we think, I know what I've done. I know how my motivations fail, and I know the skeletons I have in the closet and all the selfish things I've done in my life. Our pets are innocent in our own eyes. Other people, while other people do have flaws, they aren't like us. Jordan ends the chapter by giving a way or a solution to this shameful being. And that's to establish order. The book's called An Antidote to Chaos, meaning there's chaos all around us. Nobody likes chaos. Part of what God does is creates order. And part of what we need to do is help create that order and alleviate suffering and to do good in the world. That's how we can, at least in part, help cure our shameful being and to take our medicine on time, or in other words, how we can treat ourselves like someone we are responsible for helping.
Yeah, so I think ultimately the idea is like your people are going to make sure that their pets, people are going to make sure that their children, people are going to make sure that their parents take their medicine on time, but yet we ourselves fail to take our own medicine in time. We ourselves fail to take care of ourselves as well as we take care of others. And this definitely doesn't make sense, but it is interesting to think about the way that we kind of dislike ourselves or are dissatisfied with kind of who we are as people. And so, I think this is a powerful reminder for us that we do have a responsibility to care for ourselves, just as we have a responsibility to care for others. And so, Forrest, why don't you kind of talk about some of the insights from Scripture and how that relates to Jordan Peterson's rule number two?
Yeah, so I would say just by starting out, you know, I think that this is, I don't think people say this rule, or a lot of people, you know, aren't aware, or some people I would say aren't aware of Jordan Peterson's book, but this is kind of like becoming more popular, you know, this whole idea of like self-care and like taking care of yourself and then doing stuff like that, you know, taking care of yourself before you take care of others. And this, like I'm going to say probably about most of his rules, is I would call it almost like quasi-biblical, right? So there is definitely some weight to it that we see in the Bible. But at the same time, there's also this idea of, you know, maybe it's not as nuanced in Jordan B. Peterson's book as it might be in the Bible. I think one of the thrusts of the Bible is you take care of yourself so that you can take care of other people. And I'm not taking care of myself just because I want myself to be great or whatever. It's so that, like, I'm viewing my body as a tool for Jesus on the earth. And I think it's simple, but it really goes to the root of why I take care of myself in the first place. But I do think that that's something that even Christians struggle with mm-hmm. like loving themselves and with looking at themselves as somebody they're responsible for helping. And some of it might depend on your like theological tradition. You know, like I know a lot of our Reformed friends, they would say like, yeah, you shouldn't love yourself. Like you're like a vile worm. You know what I mean? You're just like the bottom of the trash heap. And some of that, you know, sin does negatively impact us for sure. And we should feel guilty about some things. But at the same time, we can't lose sight of how valuable we are. And we can't lose sight of all that God has done for us. And we can't lose sight of what the Bible says about caring for ourselves and loving ourselves. So I think the foundation for this has to be Genesis 1:26-27, where God talks about making man in his own image. And I think that's where it starts. I mean, that's the foundation really throughout the Bible for not only how somebody views themselves, but how somebody views somebody else. You know, Genesis 9, after the floodwaters receded, that's when God kind of officially institutes what we might refer to as the death penalty. And the reason behind why God gives the death penalty is he says, because in God's image, man was made. So there's something about that intrinsic value and that intrinsic worth that makes killing somebody so bad. And there's a whole discussion we can have about that, but I just want that to say, like, that's the foundation. We're made in God's image, and we can't forget that. That gives us value. But also, I think there's some unexpected places for where we see this value in Scripture. One of them is in Matthew 22:37-40, when that lawyer tests Jesus and asks him, Rabbi, what's the most important law? And Jesus' response is to love your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and a second is like it. To love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the part I feel like a lot of people don't get. If I don't love myself, I can't biblically love my neighbor, right? So I'm supposed to treat my neighbor as I want to treat myself. If I'm treating myself like garbage, then I've lost my biblical basis by which to treat my neighbor. So that's a good reminder. Also, you know, in Ephesians 5:28-30, when Paul is talking about marriage, and he says that husbands are to love their wives as themselves, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but cherishes it and nourishes it. And Paul's point isn't that there's nobody who's ever mistreated themselves. His point is, naturally, our propensity is to, or at least should be, to take care of ourselves. And he's saying, that reflects in how husbands treat their wives. So if I hate myself, I'm not going to be able to treat my neighbor well. I'm not going to be able to treat my wife well.
I think it's important to point out that part of what Paul's saying there is that it's not that he's countering this principle of a shameful being. It's the act of we love ourselves in the sense that we always choose ourselves selfishly over people. And that's part of what makes us feel so bad about ourselves in the end. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that is part of it. But there's also like recognizing that selfishness and using it to help somebody else. So recognizing like our first selfish instinct of I would like this, and then reflecting that onto somebody else. I know I would like that, but instead of giving it to myself, I'm going to give it to this other person because I know they would like it too. You know, so I think that's true, but it's kind of almost like a re-channeling of that idea.
Yeah, I'm not saying that was Paul's point. I'm saying you can hear in that the idea of this idea that we love ourselves or we choose ourselves. And while that's true, it's not the same as saying how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I think we can be, if we're not careful, we can have the opposite effect where we can read passages like this and where we say, okay, I've got to love others as much as I love myself, which means I need to love myself less so that I can love others more. And, you know, we can have this idea of like, oh, I've got to be selfless. Like, I've got to go and give my all to others. Like, I've got to do, you know, I've got to, if there's an opportunity for me to do good to other people, I have to take it. And if I don't take it, then I'm a bad person. You know, and I think that's kind of a dangerous mindset to take as well. You know, like, we do have to take care of ourselves, you know, even in the face of having opportunities to serve others.
Yeah, and really at the end of the day, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. I think that's something that the Bible talks about, like in 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul says, if a man doesn't take care of his own, he's worse than an unbeliever. And that context is the church taking care of widows. And Paul's point is, before a widow is supported by the church, she needs to make sure there's nobody in her family that can help her. So there's this idea of like having my own house in order, and everybody I'm in charge of, if you will, is taken care of, and that includes yourself, you know, and then you kind of branch out. But in terms of like getting back to the words that Dr. Peterson uses with seeing yourself as somebody who is like worthy of help, I think is how he words it, or somebody who is you are responsible for helping. I thought of Romans 5, 6 through 8, where God saw us as somebody who needed help, right? And in Romans 5, 6, it says at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then in verse 7, you know, one would scarcely die for a good person. Perhaps somebody might die for a good person, but God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So, you know, sometimes you hear this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And there is some truth to that. But if that was like universally true, we'd be saved, you know, because like, obviously I need to react to the gospel and respond to the gospel. But in Romans 5, 6 through 8, it says that while we were still sinners, when we didn't deserve it, when we weren't helping ourselves or anybody else, that's when Christ died for us. And we can debate about that if you want. But that verse, you know, makes it clear God saw us and said, man, these people need some help. So he sent his son, Jesus.
So I think part of what the scriptures are pointing out is that, yes, we are a shameful being. We absolutely are. But because we're made in God's image, there's redemption, and we don't have to stay in that because of what Jesus did.
Yeah, and sorry, go ahead.
I thought you were telling me to go. That's the only reason I was going to go. I think you're exactly right. You know, it's not that we're perfect. It's not that we deserve, you know, anything really, but it's a matter of the fact that we are created in God's image. There does come a level of deservance maybe where, you know, we get to take care of ourselves and where we get to strive to be better and strive to grow simply because Christ saw us worth saving.
Yeah, and I think, again, just like with rule one, there's this side of the equation that Jordan B. Peterson doesn't really talk about. And I would say that's the God side of the equation. You know, I'm responsible for helping myself. Yeah, but I couldn't do that without God's help. And I think that's something that Christians need to keep in mind. And there is a spiritual aspect to this. You know, in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul tells Christians to examine themselves to see whether they are in the faith or not. And Paul's point is, like, that's not my responsibility. Like, you need to test yourself, right? You have a responsibility for helping yourself to make sure that you are faithful, that you're doing what you're supposed to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's a good reminder for us. Likewise, Genesis 1:28. Cole, when you were talking about we need to establish order, do good, alleviate suffering, when God tells human beings really their purpose is to In that instance, be fruitful and multiply, but does also subdue the earth and have dominion over it. And that's not like a choking control. You know, that's not like a dominance that crushes other things for our expense. That is almost like good husbandry. That's taking care of what God has given us. That is being like God in that we create order when there's a where there's a lack of it and stuff like that. Like that's what human beings fundamentally are called to do, and that's something we should still be involved in. And real quick, before we move on, I would say too that it's true that we're shameful creatures, but that's only because of the fall. You know, before Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, they didn't know they were naked. There was no shame. And then afterwards, once their eyes were opened, they were embarrassed. They were shameful. And we've been living with that ever since.
I don't want to sound like a legalist, like this idea of we work for our salvation. Of course not. The Bible doesn't teach that. But there's something to be said about doing good, subduing the world, having dominion, as we were called to do at creation. And that doesn't mean ruling over, I don't know, any part of the world, as Forrest pointed out. But it means maybe something as simple as being a nurse, being a teacher, being a minister, praying for someone. Anyways, the point is there is something within us naturally that God created in us that when we help others, we feel better about ourselves. Happiness doesn't come from being selfish. Feeling good about ourselves doesn't come from getting a new haircut. It comes from helping others.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You know, like I do think there is an expectation for us to serve others. And, you know, maybe that's how we take care of ourselves sometimes. Maybe we need to take care of ourselves by helping out others and doing things for others. But I think that there's also other times where we need to serve ourselves and do things that we need to get done, you know. And like whenever we talk about how we're going to apply this principle of loving ourselves and taking care of ourselves, I think it's kind of difficult to talk about just because the way Cole is going to take care of himself and the way I'm going to take care of myself are probably going to be different. Likewise for Forrest, you know, everyone kind of has to find their own way of taking care of themselves, their own way of kind of recharging and feeling good and ready to serve others, ready to do good for others. You know, so while doing good to others is a way to take care of ourselves, it's also we have to take care of ourselves in order to serve others. And so I guess like the big principle that you have to understand if you're going to try to apply this to your life is that it's going to be some trial and error. You know, you're going to have to kind of like do some things and like test some things out to see, okay, how does this make me feel? Like, does this help me feel ready to serve others, ready to invest into others? Or does this, you know, make it harder for me to serve others, you know? And I think the instant thought is, or at least my instant thought was, oh, I need to binge watch television. I need to just relax and lay down on the couch for an entire day and do nothing. And that's not very refreshing. That's not very rejuvenating, you know, at all, really. Like, it's pretty exhausting, you know? And so maybe, you know, binge watching television isn't a great idea, but maybe going for a walk is a good idea. Maybe going for a walk is a good way to take care of yourself. That's one of the things I definitely do to take care of myself. I try to walk daily, but if not daily, definitely like, you know, several times a week.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that like for some people, watching TV might be how they refresh because they're alone. Me being an introvert, I can attest for that. Whereas you're an extrovert and getting out or maybe going to a social gathering is actually how you rejuvenate. But I think that goes in line with what you said earlier about everybody's got to figure this out on their own.
Well, and two, you know, the thing that, you know, if we're trying to recognize that we're responsible for helping ourselves, that thing might not be pleasant or easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not necessarily pleasant to take your prescribed medication. It requires some discipline. you know, for me to take care of myself, I've got to make some tough choices, maybe with my diet. I've got to make some tough choices with exercise and stuff. So, you know, there is like the self-care aspect and the making sure we're rested and stuff, but there's also the like if you look at your family as a ministry, which it is, every man, that's like their number one ministry. And if you're so unhealthy that you might not have 10 years left because of your own choices with diet and exercise, et cetera, like that's something that you, like this would really come in handy. Like you, hey, look, like nothing's going to fall out of the sky and make this decision for you. You have to see yourself as somebody you're responsible for helping. And in so doing, you're going to help the people around you.
And Cole's right as well. You know, like watching television may be something that kind of helps you feel recharged and everything, but binge watching television probably isn't, you know? And that's kind of was the point I was making. You know, the days I have spent on the couch doing nothing. Yeah, that's not been a good day for me. I've not felt like serving others, and it's kind of put a damper on my week, you know? I definitely think, you know, that watching, you know, a couple episodes of one of my favorite TV shows or something like that is definitely a way that I feel recharged and stuff. And to your point, Forrest, you're exactly right. You know, like taking care of yourself isn't always fun. It's not always, you know, a bubble bath. You know, like, yeah, that might help you feel relaxed, but the way you really need to take care of yourself might be reading more, you know, like I would say the most important thing that every Christian needs to be doing to take care of themselves is to have an active prayer life and to spend time daily in God's word. You know, if you're not doing those two things, you're not really taking care of yourself. You're not really feeding yourself as a Christian. And, you know, just like we rarely skip meals. You know, at like physically, we always eat food at least 3 times a day. And, you know, if we were to think about ourselves spiritually and how we're feeding ourselves spiritually, can we say that we're being as good to ourselves spiritually as we are physically? You know, that's kind of definitely something we've got to wrestle with and think about.
One thing that's helped me a whole lot is when talking about what a lot of Christians struggle with, if not all Christians at some point, is this idea of I'm not worthy to be forgiven of sins. You know, some people, they obey God and they're striving to walk in the light and have fellowship with one another, but they still don't feel like they're forgiven or they don't deserve to be forgiven. Not that anybody does. But one thing that helps is to think about a loved one, somebody you adore, and ask the question, do you think they are saved? Maybe it's your daughter who's obeyed Christ. And you think to yourself, are they saved? It's much easier in that moment. You know they've messed up, but it's much easier in that moment to say, yes, of course they are. And sometimes we got to get on the outside and look at ourselves that way rather than internally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's a good point as well. You know, like, I don't want to call it comparison, but it's kind of like a wake-up call, you know, like, helps remind us of how great God's grace is. I definitely think that there are times for a bubble bath and there are times to take care of yourself. Like maybe you've had a stressful week or a stressful month and, you know, maybe going to get a massage is a good way that you need to go take care of yourself. Or maybe, you know, you need to go get a haircut or something like that. You know, that's definitely some good options as well. One of my favorite things to do to take care of myself, and I know this is kind of ridiculous, but I think it's helpful because one of the biggest things that kind of prevents me from wanting to serve others and be productive is kind of just like my attitude. If I have a bad attitude, then sometimes, you know, it's harder for me to be the servant that I need to be. And so a lot of times I will watch it like a comedian. I will do something. I'll watch something that makes me laugh. You know, maybe it's a sitcom, maybe it's a comedian. And if I can walk while I do that, that helps as well. But just kind of getting like some laughter in my day. I try to be intentional about that either in the mornings or on my way to work or, you know, during like a break at the office, you know, just doing something to kind of help me laugh. Because as we laugh, positive endorphins come in our mind. And there's a quote, I don't remember who said it originally, but It said something along the lines of, every time you laugh, it's you're going on a free vacation. And, you know, like, that's such a true thing. You know, like, the greatest moments of life are oftentimes filled with laughter. And so whenever we can laugh, we can kind of help brighten our day. And then, of course, like we talked about last week's episode, stand up straight. You know, just help yourself remember that you can do it, that you can overcome whatever it is you're facing. You know, there's so just many different ways to take care of yourself and things that you have to do to be better. And some of them are easy. Some of them are more difficult. You know, and so I think really we just have to ask ourselves, okay, where do I need to grow? How do I need to make my life easier? Is that an attitude issue? You know, do you need to do things to get in a better habit of having a positive attitude? Or do you need to, you know, work on being a better scheduler? Do you need to work on a spiritual discipline? You know, do you need to pray more? You know, okay, what is it that you need to do? And then, okay, what can I do to make sure I'm going to do these things better? You know, because that's ultimately what self-care is it's making sure that we are the best version of ourselves that we can be. And oftentimes that looks like doing the difficult things that we don't want to do. And then yet sometimes it looks like the easy things that we enjoy doing. And we just need to make it those things a priority because we've been neglecting those things through the stresses and hecticness of life. Because ultimately the idea is to take care of yourself the same way you would take care of other people. And just how you would want to see your loved ones, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and your children, or, you know, whoever it is that's closest to you, just how you would like to see them grow closer to God and be better people and to be the best version of themselves, health in a health sense, and then also in a spiritual sense, and just like in a mental sense, and just in every sense possible. So you should wish the same thing for yourself, and you should do those things for yourself just like you would expect the people you love and care for to do those things. So far in covering Jordan Peterson's book, The 12 Rules of Life, we've covered be like the lobster and stand up tall, and then love yourself and the importance of loving yourself just as you would love someone you take care of. So we hope that you found these episodes to be beneficial and that you'll continue to listen to Forward, the Christian Self-Help Podcast.